Ben Casey will not be seen this evening so that we may bring you the 37th Annual Awards of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences. Ben Casey will be seen next week at its regularly scheduled time over most of these ABC television stations.
Welcome to a Fire and Water special presentation, the Oscar nominations special. This is Siskoid, and with me are people from two of my different shows. So on the one hand, from Lonely Hearts, the Romance Comics podcast.
Your least favorite member, Marty.
The one you don't know about. And to his right is from Oh Hot Moo or Not.
Your favorite person.
Natalie. What are we doing here? Just a week ago, if you're listening to this on the date it comes out, the Oscar nominations were announced. We're not Film and Water. Rob didn't want to do this show. But we do see a heck of a lot of movies. And Nat and Marty are two of my prime movie-watching mates.
I was the one that addicted these guys to going to see a movie every cheap night.
Oh, really? You're the... you love the theater?
Because I was the guy who did that for years with my friends and usually alone.
I've done a lot of that.
Until, like, I met you guys and then you started coming and then it was became like a weekly thing. But, yeah.
And at this time of the year, more than weekly.
Yeah. Like, multiple times a week we've been going to the theater. I feel like I know most of the staff at this point.
I think you're personally responsible for getting The Shape of Water to come to one of our theaters because they really trolled us with that that trailer.
Yes, we haven't seen it yet. When this goes up, I'm hoping we have seen it by then. But
we might see it today, on the day that it comes
out. Podcast time. Yeah. But I actually talked to a manager to find out when we were getting it. It's this weekend.
There you go.
Not for you.
That's because you asked.
I mean, maybe. I'm not convinced. The guy seemed like it was going to happen regardless.
I don't know.
I like to take credit for it.
It was a push.
He seemed to me like, and by the time he ended the conversation, he was going to order it. Yeah. That was all you.
So you're welcome, Moncton.
Right. So the Oscars, like, let's start with a preamble where I will say that we know that the Oscars is, you know, political.
Yeah, it is what it is.
It's a giant scam to, like, sell bad movies, in my opinion, sometimes.
Marty is the...
I'm kind of anti-Oscar. Not, like...
The more anti-Oscar of us.
Yeah, I like half the films of the Oscars. There's always the other half, where are just, like, plain, boring movies that are just there so people will buy them or go to the theater because it's an Oscar pick.
Marty is the first to call out a film for being Oscar bait.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So we know it's, like, the kind of people that are voting for this, Academy members, there are a certain age group, a certain racial group, a certain gender group. So we know that has an impact. We know there's a lot of the Hollywood has to try to sell their movie to the Academy. It's a campaign. We understand all of that. We know that, you know, a lot of people don't like award shows. They're boring and we don't watch any other.
No. Although I kind of want to watch the Tonys. I think I'm going to watch the Tonys.
You're a Broadway fan, so
yeah,
that makes
I've never
sense.
Watched the Tonys, but
nobody's
going
to watch the Tonys with
no,
you.
No, I'm just going to be alone.
So it's a racket. We know that.
Yeah.
The thing is, though, is that for the past, for me, it's like 16, 17 years, 18 years, I have been hosting an Oscar party, which means we do have traditions around this. Mm-hmm. So it's more of a reason to, just like you might watch the Super Bowl, this is...
This is
the movie Super Bowl.
The Oscars are our Super Bowl, where we make a giant party, we have food, all your favorite teams never make it to the finals, and you just, you know, regretfully watch it because everyone else is going to watch it.
And my favorite part is the food, because we do Oscar food puns, so everyone has to bring a dish that's related to one of the nominated films or actors. I've done Leonardo DiCaprio one time.
What are you doing this year, you know?
I'm not sure yet. I kind of like the Shape of Watermelon pun, but I'm not sure what it would be or if I could even get watermelon this time of year. So I haven't really decided.
My favorite part is where we make an Oscar pile. is where we group up and find the worst movies we can, and the winner
of the Oscar pool
The Oscar pool gets a pile of bad movies,
and that's usually me.
Yeah,
it's usually Mike. Mike's really good; he does his research, but I'm usually good at finding bad movies because bad movies are my favorite movies. I think that's why I hate Oscar movies. I'm like, this is too good,
too good for me. Yeah, that's
too much reflection. Too much.
I'm gonna watch Scorpion King.
Production values too high.
Yeah, I got Scorpion King 4 last year. Like,
I actually got something good last year.
Yeah, some people get something good. Some people are just getting rid of the movies they don't want anymore.
Mm-hmm. Indiana Jones, the Crystal Skull. That was quite, there was like six copies.
Six copies.
One year.
And there's, and you know, like we had friends who coupled up. And so they got rid of all their redundant movies.
Yeah.
Did that as
we
well?
Had one matching film, which was Reservoir Dogs. Oh.
So that was easy.
So
but,
I gave that one
our friends Joël and Rémi, half their collection was common. They bonded over movie tastes, maybe.
I guess.
So that year we had a lot of films to give. So we've got rules to work that out, and a lot of people come. I get extra seating for that day. And most people make it to the end.
Yeah, you never know how late it's going to actually be. I've started just booking off the next day because you just never know. And I'm guessing, I'm putting my money on it right now that this year it's going to be way late. I think everyone's going to go overtime with super emotional speeches. That's my bet.
Get ready for the Trump speeches.
Yeah. I'm sure he'll be live tweeting it.
Yeah. Political or not, this year is still a good year for diversity. A lot of
I think the
non-white
big thing is because of the backlash last year of all the whole hashtag.
That was the year before.
Yeah, that was
the year before. Hashtag Oscar so white, and there was a year after that, and then they changed the rules. So it eliminated the older crowd. You cannot vote for movies if
you haven't done anything.
If you haven't worked in a certain amount of years, and a bunch of little things like that, just to, like, guess weed out.
I think it's just having a more accurate representation of actors working right now. It only makes sense that they would be more diverse.
And not just actors, because we've got our first woman nominated for cinematography.
Yeah.
Greta Gerwig is like only the fifth woman to be nominated for directing. I know. But we're seeing a lot more women directors getting higher profile films, and the same with non-white actors and crew. So it just makes sense that eventually they'd break that glass ceiling.
Yeah.
It's looking better this year.
I was very happy. Mm-hmm. There were like a few people, like Greta, for example, that I was like, I just don't know if she'll actually be on the list or not.
Because she wasn't on the Golden Globes.
No, that was not cool.
That was the odd part. The Golden Globes usually is pretty same-ish to the Oscars, kind of.
So then I was disappointed, but then I'm really happy to see that she is on there. That's awesome.
Yeah, and I'm happy for Jordan Peele too for Get Out, because even the Golden Globe was confusing.
They put him in the comedy category.
They put Get Out in the comedy thing for some
reason.
Well,
the Golden Globes have weird categories. Well, it doesn't really make sense.
I hate the comedy and musical section.
It doesn't work anymore.
I don't feel it's so weird to me. Like,
drama certainly has the upper hand at the Oscars. Yeah. Genre films don't do very well.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got a few surprises in that department as well this time. So let's just get into it. And we haven't seen every movie here because they're only coming out now for a large part. But between us, I think we've all seen at least 20. Each of us has seen at least 20 nominated films in whatever category.
Yeah.
I've seen 25, which includes most of the documentaries and a couple shorts.
Mm-hmm.
The shorts are always the tough ones to find. If you're just racking up points, which
we
sort of do.
Shorts are always impossible to find.
Yeah, they're really
hard. They're not available anywhere.
No. Okay, so there are, what, 9 pictures in the Best Picture category? Let's start with the big one, because we're going to end up mentioning these films over and over.
Repeat them.
So there's Call Me By Your Name is the first one. We haven't seen it.
Coming out next week in our town?
At the small repertory theater.
Yeah, at the same day as a DVD release.
You know what?
Yeah.
Which made me really happy. That small theater had Lady Bird this week, and it was sold out completely.
Oh,
and that made me very happy.
But it played in theaters. Like,
I know, but clearly a lot of people didn't see it then, so it was nice. I was just very happy.
So we haven't seen that one yet. Darkest Hour is in here, the Churchill biopic.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it.
It was fine.
That's kind kind of how I feel about it.
There was that one scene that by the end that saved it. Without that scene, I would have
in the subway.
In the subway scene. Mm-hmm. Before that, even the subway scene was kind of cheesy, where he like befriends
the common people.
Yeah.
I think it's a really good character study, but it wouldn't be like my pick for best picture.
Oh no,
my problem with movies like that, it doesn't seem to take a stance on Churchill, so it's just kind of, is he a good guy, is he a bad guy? He's just kind of there. There's never like.
I think they did portray. Because, I mean, Churchill did a lot of really messed up stuff. Like, that's just historically true. Like, we know this. He's obviously a very important figure, but he's not, like, a clean figure. Like, he's done a lot of stuff.
Yeah, he's also a genocidal racist.
Exactly, you know? But I think they didn't portray him as, like, a super nice guy, which is cool and true. Like, he's a crude dude. You know, you don't want to mess with Churchill. And that was obvious to me in the film. So they did that super well.
And its cousin, the other side of that coin is Dunkirk.
Yeah, you could really do a double feature.
Because even the styles, the ticking clock motif, and both films have that. That scores Christopher Nolan, his first directing.
Oh, it's the first.
It's the first time. Yeah, his movies have been nominated at Best Picture or Screenplay or whatever, but never
directing.
So that's his first nomination for directing.
Good for you.
So you guys like Dunkirk?
Yeah. Dunkirk was great. It felt like really Nolan's whole career like rolled up to finally one movie that I liked.
Yeah, because you've been hard on Christopher Nolan.
Yeah, I've been hard on Nolan. I mean, he's fine.
You ruined him for me because you once said after Interstellar.
I think it was Interstellar. Yeah.
That there was always that one scene where he explained his themes.
Yeah, there was like one character would show up and be like, "This is what the movie's about, guys."
Yeah.
And Dunkirk did not have that. Nope. So it was good job.
And I mean,
Dunkirk. Cut the dialogue, Nolan's great.
I guess that's the thing. Like, Dunkirk is really more about, like, just the tensed atmosphere of living through a situation. Yeah. Like, we don't need the dialogue. We can just kind of feel it. And the soundtrack for it really helps create that, like, super tense, stressful pace that was happening.
That's why I think it's going to win the sound editing.
I think that has a good chance.
Yeah.
There's always the Baby Driver of it all, which is difficult for me.
Yeah, that too.
But the sound was just phenomenal.
Yeah.
In Dunkirk, I really...
But see, that's a movie that's basically about its own topic. It's not about something else than the historical event. It's a recreation of the historical event. It doesn't need that Christopher Nolan, it's about love.
Yeah.
scene. Then we have one of your favorites, Marty, Get Out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get Out. It came out like... literally a year ago, almost.
Basically a year to this, not to this day,
no,
but
it was like in February, I checked it.
Yeah, February.
Yeah, one of the first films of the year to come out in the year.
So I'm a huge horror guy, and Jordan Peele, I love the guy because of his sketch show and what he did with Matt TV.
And he just looked like a great guy, you know?
Yeah, no, it's just fun seeing, like, this is the Oscars of years, like, comedians I've been following for, like, feels like decades, and now there are two comedians I've been following for decades are now Oscar nominees.
Who's the other one?
Camille Nanjiani.
Oh, okay, we'll get to him soon.
We'll get to him. But Get Out, a genre movie, which is rare for the Oscars.
Horror.
I remember it came out and we went to see it. I was like, oh man, like I really want it to be nominated for at least something. I was pretty sure that that might not happen just because it's so rare that there are genre movies in there. But that
then,
one is fantastic.
Remember, once a good horror movie comes out and goes mainstream, you get all the think pieces of, is Get Out truly horror? Every time.
It's actually a nerd
And the answer
piece.
Is yes.
But it's the same thing in books.
Yeah.
Because, like, science fiction will never be taught in a university.
Yeah.
Except Orwell or H.G. Wells. That doesn't count. That's like a social comic book. Get Out. Lady Bird is next. So this was the... Get Out and Lady Bird are the two... Of course, there's a lot of movies we didn't see. But Get Out and Lady Bird were the two movies I had my personal top five of last year, favorites. Mm-hmm.
Get Out was actually my favorite. But Lady Bird was definitely up there for me.
Those both movies from first-time directors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is crazy.
It's crazy.
Good job.
Yeah.
Well, I've been
Lady
following.
Bird is really, like, it really hits home for
Lady
me
Bird's,
personally.
That mom in that movie is just your mom.
Yeah. Like,
I hope she's not listening to the podcast.
There's no way she is. There are conversations in this movie that I've had with my mom,
yeah.
Like, almost word for word. So, for me, watching it was a bit surreal, to be honest.
Yeah.
But it was so incredibly authentic, which is...
You and Isabel were wiping your eyes.
It was a little intense.
Yeah.
It's kind of like watching your late adolescence on the screen.
Yeah, I was not a teenage girl.
No.
But I did relate a lot to, like, the small town life and, you mm-hmm. know, wanting to get out kind of deal and getting out.
I think it's, like, bad. Super universal for almost anybody.
Most of the world, probably,
like,
yeah.
Pretty much anyone that's watching it can connect to an element of it.
And it's really about, you know, rejecting where you're from, hating where you're from, so rejecting that and your parents and your upbringing and your small town and those values, but then realizing that you can't actually do that.
No, yeah. It's always a part of you.
Yeah.
You grow and you can change, but ultimately it's always going to be part of what you are.
It really is an incredible movie. Like, it's so weird that it is so much a Greta
Gerwig
movie. Like, it has her, like, you know, mark and everything in that movie, yet it is so universal at the same time. Yeah, it's just a good balance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It feels like the movies she's starred in, or she hasn't written all of them.
Yeah.
Some of them she has, but... Phantom Thread is the one we saw most recently, from our point of view.
When this comes up.
Phantom Thread was, I have a lot of loyalty towards Paul T. Anderson.
Yeah.
Because Magnolia is my favorite movie of all time. But every other movie he's done, I've respected but not loved.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel about this. Like, I left that movie feeling like, well... I understand that this was very well done. This was, like, the acting is very nice. Everything is great. But I don't think I liked it.
Yeah,
like, that's how I feel.
That's my thing. The cinematography was amazing. I love when movies, like, really go in close-ups. It was a lot of close-up of faces, close-up of food, close-ups of things. And you could really, like, see it. It was gorgeous. But it was dull. I did not like it. And I mean, what was Inherent Vices? That came out like a few years ago?
A couple years ago, Inherent Vice,
I fucking love that movie. And I was like, yeah, it's finally another one. And I don't know.
I don't know what I was expecting, but it wasn't what I was expecting. It's like the best
kinda
way
ended,
I can describe
it.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a weirdly constructed film.
Might grow on me. Sometimes films grow on me. But
yeah, when a very slow-moving film, a quiet film, although it's very noisy, but it's noisy because it's quiet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Those play much better for me at home.
Yeah.
Sitting alone in my living room, big screen TV, just letting it wash over you.
Process.
But in a theater, when you're not necessarily comfortable for 2 hours and 20 minutes, it seems to drag on.
Yeah, I just felt like it was constantly setting things up and never doing anything with it. I think maybe that was kind of the point, but I didn't like.
Well, I think those elements are ambiguous.
Yeah.
And you're supposed to think about it later.
Like,
but
this character here is going to do something. Nope. Oh, this character is trying to, like, make... Nope.
But it's kind of the movie that came in, like, last minute to sweep, a few nominations, including for the, like, a supporting actress for The Sister, and...
Yeah.
It's a bit surprising. It just came out of nowhere. Then there's The Post. We haven't seen it yet.
No, I can't say much.
Well, I mean, it's another Meryl Streep movie.
Sure,
she's great.
Spielberg and Tom Hanks.
I mean,
it needed to be
great.
There. It was like, there's a rule, I think, in the Oscars that...
Yeah, it's about journalism
right now.
In the Nixon era. And
she's
going
to
win. Meryl Streep's going to win.
She's going to do a Trump speech
and be like, it's important.
I don't think she's going to win. I don't even think she wants to be nominated anymore.
No.
Like, you can tell she's wearing pants now. Like, in the last few
years. This is her 21st nomination.
Like,
by now, she looks embarrassed.
21st.
Yeah, she looks like, please stop doing this.
It's still 30 less than John Williams.
Yeah, I guess.
I'm not even kidding about that number.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So we'll see The Post soon enough, I guess.
But I'm sure it'll be good.
Like, we're planning to see The Shape of Water as well, but I think Marty has already decided it should win everything.
Yeah, probably. I'm the diehard Del Toro fan. He's my favorite filmmaker. I love everything.
You even look like him.
I even look like him. I have a shirt that says I'm directed by Del Toro. I'll probably love Shape of Water.
I'm convinced I will.
I just haven't seen it. Yeah, that's the problem, because it hasn't come here yet.
I'm convinced I will love everything about it. It's one of those movies, like, you see the trailer and you're like, yep, this is made for me to watch it.
Yeah, I just want to see a fish man fuck. That's all I want in my life right now.
We've been waiting since November for this.
And then there's finally Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri.
Which I know is controversial for you. You weren't a huge fan of it.
Yeah. I was
really?
The other film I wasn't a huge fan, where I felt like it was overdramatic. Just awful thing after awful thing happened in a movie. And I just didn't get the point of it all.
I mean, there are movies like that. I think the acting and the character development really makes it for me. Obviously the plot is very sad and everything, but for me, like, that's not... Yes, but really funny. Yeah. That's not, like, the crux of what makes it special for me. Like, the plot, like, okay, fine. I can go along for the ride. But, like, seeing Frances McDormand being badass like that, like, that's what made me, like, hell yeah.
What bothered me was everything else. Like, I felt their writing was kind of off, where they have this dumb character, and to show that he's dumb, he reads comic books named Robots. This is a thing that happens in this serious movie. A guy reads a comic book just called Robots. And then later,
I'm sure there is one that
exists. He's portrayed as an idiot the whole movie. Then Woody Harrelson, all of a sudden, he's like, oh, you have the potential to be a great detective. It's like, why? What? Since when?
I mean, I admit...
Huh?
He's lying. But...
He's lying. I guess he's... You know what, though? I mean, I don't know. The arcs are interesting, and we kind of... Like, I felt like I went on a journey when I watched this movie.
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
Not a fan.
So what do you think... What do you want to win, and what do you think will win?
I want Shape of Water to win, even if I haven't seen it. Give the Oscars to Del Toro.
Just give him all the Oscars.
Sure. Yeah, give him.
Well, he's nominated 13 times.
Yeah. He's gonna get some of them.
And even if I watch Shape of Water and don't like it, I'll consider it an Oscar for Pan's Labyrinth or Pacific Rim.
It's hard. I don't know. Like, I saw someone tweet that they were like, oh, this is... They obviously knew who was going to win all of the awards. And I was like, how? I don't feel like that at all. I'm sure there are many think pieces that would dictate differently. But for me, it's incredibly difficult. Yeah. I don't know who's going to win.
I want Shape of Water, I think, 3 Billboards.
I've seen that guess. That wouldn't be my pick, but I have seen it.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's important enough. They like to go for important.
The Post, then?
The Post is important.
I don't think it's the winner, though.
But it's so in the moment. Journalism, fake news.
Honestly, that's why I think it might actually be Get Out.
A big historical epic, hard to coordinate, is Dunkirk.
Yeah, probably going to be Dunkirk. Which, I mean, good for Christopher Nolan.
But it could be a lot of these smaller films as well.
I would be really pumped if it was Get Out. Like, that would be exciting.
Yeah, Shape of Water, Get Out, I'd be
Or Lady Bird, even. I would be happy with
Because last
any
year
of those.
Was Moonlight.
Yeah
which
and
was...
And that's a small, personal picture about LGBT, just like Call Me By Your Name here. So,
It could be any of them.
It could be any of them. Let's look at the other categories here. How about actors? Actress in a leading role. So I'll just read them off real quick. Yeah. Here we've got Sally Hawkins for Shape of Water, Frances McDormand, Margot Robbie for I, Tonya, Saoirse Ronan for Lady Bird, and of course Meryl Streep.
Yeah, she has to be there. I feel like she has to do at least one movie a year.
It's in her contract, I think. I'll do this movie if I'm nominated.
At this point, it feels like an inside joke from the Academy members.
Yeah, they're like, we have to put her again.
And Meryl is like doing crap like Mamma Mia just to see if they'll nominate her for that stuff.
Then they will.
I mean, she's good, but is she 21 nominations good?
Well, I feel like when they give the award, it's supposed to be achievement in. Well, that's what they say, right? And for achievement in blah, blah. So are all these 21 roles substantially different from one another?
Yeah.
Has she never recycled a thing?
I feel like probably more than less of her nominations are really legit.
Is the Post substantially more difficult than the Thatcher one?
The Iron Lady.
I'm not convinced of that. I haven't seen it yet. Maybe it'll be like, oh my god, this is her best role ever. But my gut feeling...
I can't believe She got nominated for playing Margaret Thatcher. Well, she got nominated for an Oscar for that?
Yeah.
Jesus
Christ. Well, they're just
Christ,
mad
Oscars.
At Margaret Thatcher.
There's at least one year where she was nominated both supporting and lead in two different films.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she does not mess around.
No. I'd like to see Sally Hawkins win this one.
Me too.
Personally, yeah. Because I've liked her in a lot of things.
I think it's Frances McDormand, though.
Yeah, no, I'd
like,
be happy
I think
that.
The actual, that's what's going to happen. But I agree with you that I would like it to be Sally Hawkins. I think she's awesome. I liked her in everything she's done.
Yeah.
And, like, I think this might be, like, weird to say, but I feel like it would have a greater impact on her than on Frances McDormand. So, like, I would prefer it go to Sally Hawkins because I think she could benefit from it more.
I want Sally Hawkins, but I think Frances McDormand will win.
I think so, too.
Because she's so good in that she tricked him thinking that it was a good movie.
Did Meryl Streep steal a seat? Like, say if they weren't obsessed with Meryl Streep.
Yeah.
Could it have gone to Michelle Williams?
Yes.
Or...
My like, sadness is that Michelle Williams isn't on that list.
Yeah, she was good in that.
She really carries all the money in the world.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Like, she's...
She has to. She was... I think next to Mark Wahlberg.
Shots fired at Mark Wahlberg.
I don't think anyone's a Mark Wahlberg fan.
I mean, they're probably
is there.
Well, they must exist because he's in a heck of a lot of movies.
But, like, I found, like,
yeah,
I
she
just
was great.
I couldn't stop watching her. Like, if she was on screen, it was her. It didn't matter who else was on there. I just really wanted to watch her. So, in my heart of hearts, we could have probably removed Meryl Streep because, come on, she doesn't need another one. She's
yeah.
already got past 20. Like, they should have just, like, 20 is a great milestone. You know?
Yeah.
But Michelle went. I was going to say somebody else.
Carey Mulligan?
Carey Mulligan.
No, I was going to say the name of an author. Michelle Williams, I think, would have been there.
Yeah, she's
for
fantastic.
Me.
Actor in a leading role. We've got Timothée Chalamet from Call Me By Your Name, Daniel Day-Lewis on Phantom Thread, Daniel Kaluuya in Get Out. That's a nice surprise.
Mm-hmm.
Gary Oldman in Darkest Hour, who's the favorite to win. And Denzel Washington for Roman J. Israel Esquire, which is sort of a surprise because
the movie was terrible, apparently.
Well, apparently, yeah. It didn't get good reviews.
Yeah, because like we got it and we didn't go see it. Like I looked it up. I'm pretty sure we got them.
Yeah, it was like in a 50%
yeah, so,
tomato meter.
Let's be real. I'm sorry, Denzel. It's probably not going to be you in this case. But I've also heard
that. He squeaked in when James Franco was accused of misconduct.
I know people.
The day before the ballots were to come.
Yeah, that
people
might be.
People are upset about that. Like, I understand it, but also,
I'm not,
like,
I
mean.
You know, I think The Disaster Artist was fine, but he was sort of doing a caricature of Tommy Wiseau. I mean, it doesn't.
I mean, what's different than Gary Oldman?
Yeah, I guess.
Well,
that's
there's
true.
Caricature and then inhabiting the character. I felt maybe Tommy Wiseau cannot be done except as caricature because he's a very strange
person. He is
the
caricature. That's the thing.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if they're just going to give it to Daniel Day-Lewis because he said that he was retiring.
Yeah, that might be it.
I am wondering if that's going
that
to happen.
Might be it.
I don't know. And I'm not convinced that's true either. Like, he might retire for a bit. I'm not convinced he's actually disappearing.
And I guess Chalamet has some time to go yet. He's like the third youngest ever.
Yeah, so I don't think think it'll go to him, although I'm sure he's really good in it. I've heard
he
really
was in
great
Lady Bird
things.
Too, right? That's him?
Supporting roles. Actress Mary J. Blige in Mudbound, which we'll soon see. It's on Netflix.
Yeah.
And she's also nominated for The Song. So it's I think that's the first time that's happened.
Hmm.
And Allison Janney in I, Tonya. Personal favorite of mine, not necessarily the film yet, but Allison Janney for sure from West Wing. Leslie Manville in Phantom Thread, that's the sister. Laurie Metcalf in Lady Bird, plays the mother. And Octavia Spencer in The Shape of Water.
Octavia Spencer is really good in everything. I really like her, like, in the role she does. She's always great.
She's fantastic.
But does that mean Elma from Phantom Thread's not nominated for anything?
That's correct.
Huh. I didn't notice that. That's a shame.
That is a shame. Because to be honest, she almost has a bigger role.
She does.
She would be in lead.
Yeah,
so
I guess that.
She's up against Meryl Streep.
Yeah.
Well, she stole Meryl's solar seat.
I guess so.
This is probably the category that's the hardest because there are the most that we haven't seen in it. So for me, it's a bit difficult.
Yeah.
Although in my heart, I think I'd like to go to Laurie Metcalf because I think she was fantastic in that.
A lot of other names had come up for this. Holly Hunter in The Big Sick, for example, is an
Holly
early
Hunter's
favorite.
Great.
the summer. There could have been other names here. There's Tiffany Haddish from Girls Trip.
Oh, really?
Has been floated.
That would have been wild.
Yeah.
Again, comedy.
Again,
like,
comedy.
Uh-huh. They're like,
comedy.
Genre. Yep. Get out.
Exactly. Actor in a supporting role. Here there's Willem Dafoe in The Florida Project, another movie that hasn't come out over here.
Yeah.
Woody Harrelson in Three Billboards. Richard Jenkins in The Shape of Water. Christopher Plummer for spending 9 days replacing Kevin Spacey.
God, please let it be Christopher Plummer.
I would love it if it was. Like,
and,
that
and
would
Sam
be
Sam Rockwell is the in Three Billboards is the fifth.
Yeah.
Yeah, if Plummer went... Well, Plummer's a great actor, obviously.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But his challenge on this was to give that performance... in 9 days of reshoots. I mean,
yeah.
Which is crazy.
I don't even understand how this movie would work with Kevin Spacey.
That's exactly how I felt while
I was watching it. I saw, you can see the trailer.
Okay.
You can see the trailer, the first trailer with Kevin Spacey. He's got old man makeup, and he's walking all old man.
Yeah, because Christopher Plummer's actually the age of the character.
Yeah. So,
I think. Like, Christopher Plummer has a presence and, like, a austere tone about him that I'm not convinced Kevin Spacey... Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll never know, I suppose. But for me, like, watching it, I was like, man, I can't imagine.
He was really good.
Oh. And, like, we saw him being Scrooge twice this year.
That's right. You can really believe that he did not care at moments.
Yeah.
Like, he could really flip that switch.
And that's so weird because, like, him as a person does not give that impression at all. He looks like a super nice, like, I wish he was my grandfather kind of dude. But in this movie, you hate him. Like, oh, he's heartless.
Woody Harrelson, really? For Three Billboards?
And Sam Rockwell, so it's like double...
I mean, Sam Rockwell, sure, but Woody Harrelson in that?
I think I agree with that.
He doesn't, like, not that he doesn't do much, but yeah, he doesn't do much.
Oh, it's hard, though. I don't know. I think I would go for Sam Rockwell over Woody Harrelson in this case, I think.
We talked about the directors quite a lot just in the movies, because it's all the same. It's five of the nominated movies. Nolan on his first, Jordan Peele on his first, Greta Gerwig on her first, Paul T. Anderson, and Del Toro is in there. So what do we want here? Because
I want them to all win.
Basically, everyone on this list would be kind of nice. you know?
Yeah.
Which is a rare.
There's no Spielberg. There's no
obvious ones. Super obvious choices. But again, I go for my man Del Toro. But again, Jordan Peele, Get Out. Was amazingly directed.
Honestly,
just the ideals he brought to screen. I don't think much, like, there was cool, like, imagery and stuff.
I think this is going to be one of those years where it's going to be a toss-up between Best Picture and Director categories. It's going to be, like, the same two movies, but one of them's going to win. You know, So, and I don't know who's going to win the director.
That's another of my weird quips of where you have best film and best director and they don't win the same. That's always weird to me. I know it's kind of different, but at the same time, like, should the best director be the best film too?
It's just, you can have a great director, and if the acting is not as great, well it's not the best picture.
They say it's a director's medium.
Yeah.
So shouldn't the director be responsible for the film? But when you win best film, it's the producers that go on stage and get to talk. Producers, money men. That's how I feel about it.
Yeah.
And in fact, it's rather rare for someone who is both producer and so Jordan Peele in this case, who is the just like Gerwig, he's the fifth black director to be nominated, is the very first black director and producer of his own film.
Yeah,
to
and
be
writer.
And writer,
he did everything for this movie.
Yeah, I mean,
this is a super low, like pretty.
But
low,
yes,
he's gonna go on stage alone.
just like him, like woo.
What about animated film? Because here, I thought this mix overall, this whole mix, had a lot less of what the hell is that doing?
Yeah,
I mean, there are people or films that I would have wanted to see get recognition that aren't there. But I'm not like, this is all wrong. This person shouldn't be on there. This
Except
movie shouldn't be on
there. Except for animation.
Animated film has the one big stinker.
Yeah, and then you were upset at one of them that got snubbed. One of your favorite movies of the year?
My favorite movie of the year was Lego Batman.
Yeah, and where is it?
It's not there.
It's not there.
I'm genuinely shocked by this.
Yeah.
Because the first Lego movie, apparently it wasn't admissible because...
There was some live action.
Yeah, so I was like, okay, that's stupid. And I even did Lego dessert that year out of protest. It really made me angry. But I was like, okay, I understand. But this year, I genuinely don't get it because that's not the case. They just, it's just not there.
It's not there. And instead, we have The Boss Baby, which by all accounts is a terrible film. I have not seen it, but I've seen the trailer often enough.
Yeah.
And I don't know who the audience for it is because...
Are they like babies voting for these?
Well, I mean, it's... Honestly, I bet it's because their parents or grandparents. So for them, it's like, aren't they sick of seeing it already?
This is a movie that has poop jokes, and I mean, it's babies, right? So it's got poop jokes and throwing up jokes and whatever.
Probably shaking their booty on the newest pop hit.
Marty but is also, very annoyed by booty shaking in animated
films. But it
films.
Also references directly the speech, the brass ball speech from Glengarry Glen Ross. What is the what is the Venn diagram on these
That's
ideas?
Kids movies, man, they mix up things and it's so confusing. Like, who is this for? Like, it's
no idea. Because
everyone.
It's not a joke for adults.
Thing.
It's a joke for people who've seen Glengarry Glen Ross. It's a joke for Mammoth fans. If you're a Mammoth fan, I bet you didn't want your kids to see The Boss Baby. That one's there, and Ferdinand is there.
Which is like, I'm sure it's fine, but like, Lego Batman should have been one of those.
Yeah,
spots.
One of those should, like, Ferdinand, I didn't hear anything about, like, Boss Baby, I heard of it because it was so bad, apparently. But Ferdinand came out.
I'm sure it's fine.
They so don't know what to do with the animated thing with the Academy people. Because, you know, I do some research and all that all through the year.
Yeah.
Keep myself current. And even Emoji Movie was a dark horse, like a possibility.
Like, why? We have enough like good animated, like it's so weird.
So in this case, I think the three other films are the better ones. Coco, obviously,
yes,
the breadwinner, and Loving Vincent looks very interesting. It's like a Van Gogh painting. It's all told as a Van Gogh painting that looks interesting. And
yeah, they did an oil painting for every frame of that movie. That's incredible.
It and really that would be an achievement.
Yeah.
Although I'm expecting Coco to win.
Yeah, most likely. Which, you know, it's fine. Like, I mean, they deserve it.
Yeah,
it was
a good
film.
Yeah, Coco's great.
If you're going by storytelling, if it's a technical achievement, then maybe some of the more, you know, like different styles should be awarded. But it's not necessarily the case. What about screenplays? So, of course, there are two categories here. Original screenplays and adapted. Original, we've got The Big Sick. I'm very happy about that.
Mm-hmm.
Get Out, of course. Lady Bird, also great. Shape of Water. And Three Billboards is on here. So that's the one you don't want to win.
Yeah, no. Not Three Billboards. Thought the script was odd.
But the other films are certainly... Well, I like all five.
Yeah. This is where
I like,
expect to like all five.
I feel like this is one of those situations where it's going to be Lady Bird. Because of the authentic dialogue, like the super realness of it, and the... I think... That's my guess.
See, that's the same reason I say The Big Sick.
I agree. You could easily say that for The Big Sick. I would be really happy
if it
was that.
Could almost have been an adapted screenplay if only they'd written a book first.
Yeah.
Because it's a real story.
I want, and I think we'll win, Get Out. Because I think that script is tight.
Yeah.
It's just so
good.
That's
true.
It's one of those movies you have to watch twice because you will notice things that you wouldn't have noticed the first time. So I think the script really works from start to finish. There's so many little things in it. Like, it's packed full of everything, like, you want in a script.
Like, you can tell that he tailored this to a T.
From start to finish, there's not an empty line in that movie. There's not any throwaway lines. Everything is used for another moment.
And if there was a sixth one on there, I might have put a ghost story in there. I thought it was... That movie was...
Yeah.
I mean, not very dialogue heavy, but...
Well, I mean, it still needs a story, right?
It's just,
it's just a peculiar film and idea. And so, I don't know. Maybe the script looks...
Was there even a script? I don't think... I doubt there was a script.
There's just, like, stand in front of this window and we'll just keep shooting stuff.
Maybe. In adapted... there is Call Me By Your Name, The Disaster Artist, Logan. That's the big surprise because it's a comic book.
Yeah, that's really
that was
fun.
First, like, comic book movie nominated for...
For a screenplay.
Yeah.
Molly's Game and Mudbound, which we haven't seen yet. So those are the adapted screenplays. Logan was one of your...
Yeah, it was one of my favorite movies of this year. I really like Logan. I think it should win.
I kind of feel like Molly's Game is like a little too on the nose.
It uses too much of the book.
That's kind of how I feel.
There's
for it to win.
An insane amount of voiceover.
Yeah, there wasn't enough of that Aaron Sorkin, like, witty jabs that he does, there was too much of just talking about what's happening. So I don't think it's a good adaptation. I think I could have gotten more of the book.
Yeah, let's talk about the music. Original score and also original songs. So original score, Dunkirk, Phantom Thread, a lot of piano. Shape of Water, haven't heard it yet.
Yeah.
Star Wars Last Jedi, I can't believe John Williams keeps getting nominations for the same...
for the same score.
Same score. Three Billboards, I don't remember the score necessarily.
Yeah.
It's hard to remember sometimes, unless it's very, very distinctive. I don't have any strong opinions either way.
As of right now, unless, like, we haven't seen Shape of Water.
So yeah.
I don't know. But my instinct is to say Dunkirk. Okay. On that list.
What about original song? We haven't heard them all either.
That's one of my other categories. I'm always like, ugh, why did this win or why was this nominated?
Yeah, so from Mudbound, there's Mighty River. From Call Me By Your Name, there's Mystery of Love. From Coco, there's Remember Me.
Mm-hmm.
From Marshall, there's a Stand Up for Something. That's the only award for nomination.
Yeah, which
for this
I'm
movie.
Actually kind of surprised. Like, I don't know much about this movie, but I kind of suspected that it was going to be nominated somewhere. I'm shocked that it's just that one.
Yeah, it's about a landmark case of the first African American Supreme Justice. It's got Chadwick Boseman. You know, Black Panther plays him, so yeah, Boseman only plays black icons. It's it's Black Panther. Mm-hmm. It's Jackie Robinson. It's
I mean, that's cool. Like, that's an awesome rubber door to have.
I just don't know what this song is. And The Greatest Showman has This Is Me.
Which is not my favorite song from The Greatest Showman, but I understand why it's that one.
It's like the landmark one, I guess. Yeah.
Anything missing?
I have two choices that are missing. We just mentioned it. The song from A Ghost Story, I Get Overwhelmed.
Okay, yeah, the song that the character writes.
Yeah. Oh. I thought it was a good techno beat. It fit the movie because the start was kind of slow, and then it comes in to like start singing. I was like, oh, it's a good metaphor for the movie. Yeah, I thought that was good. I'm surprised it wasn't there.
Yeah.
But Ghost Story isn't anywhere. So.
No.
I suspect they didn't push for that.
Yeah, probably
it
not.
It does take a certain amount of push.
They may not even have submitted it.
Exactly. Like, I'm not convinced they did.
And maybe another weird choice that Minette did watch, a weird movie called The Lure about two mermaids.
Yeah, that would have been amazing.
Yeah.
Oh man, I hadn't thought of that.
It's like this horror musical about mermaids, and it was a really
The Lure?
Good, The Lure.
Hmm. It's awesome.
It was a really good movie.
It's really awesome.
And there was a song called You Were the Beat of My Heart. Really catchy. I've been listening to that at work. I mean, it was like, but I get why it was nominated. It's a foreign film.
Yeah.
And very niche, again, genre. Weird,
but I agree.
Weird genre mixing. But yeah, that.
The music in that movie is really interesting.
Yeah, it's great in that
because
movie.
They're like sirens. Like, it's very like high pitched and weird melodies. Like, the music is really cool, but it's also incredibly catchy.
So those were my two like snubs.
Turns out the movie was made in 2015, but Marty still wants you to see it.
Even if there's songs I like every year, I'm like, why did that win?
Wasn't it last year where everyone was crying at the like Lady Gaga song? And then
I think it was maybe the year before, but yeah, the Lady Gaga song.
And then it's not.
It was
like
what year was it with that bad James Bond song?
I think it was that
year.
Oh my god, the
bad Spectre song.
And I love James Bond songs usually, but that one was not that great. I'm sorry.
Anyways, get ready to cry at Coco's Remember Me when they play it.
Yes, we're all going to be crying.
The rest is, well, I mean, I don't think we have very many opinions about international films. I haven't seen a single one yet. In the foreign language category. It's not all foreign language. There's one in French.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's not foreign.
Again,
to
the
us.
Bilingual privilege.
Some of the movies look interesting. Documentaries, I've seen 4 out of 5.
Yeah.
But apparently the big snub is the Jane Goodall story. There is a called Jane, which a lot of people raved about. And it's not on there at all. Really dark, heavy stuff, I think, in the list this year.
Does Hollywood hate Jane Goodall? Did she do something?
I honestly, I thought it
was... Did she diss Meryl Streep?
I thought Wait for Your Laugh was going to be on it. It's like, she just died and everything. Like, I was sure it was going to be there. Which, I was like excited because like, oh, this is a great excuse to watch this movie because I've been wanting to. But then it's just not there.
Okay, Rosemarina.
I wanted, for my documentary pick, I was snubbed. Or maybe it was just last year, but I only saw it this year, was Tickled. documentary about the dark behind-the-scenes happenings of competitive tickling. Amazing. I recommend Tickled. You will not believe what happens.
You should follow Marty's recommendations regarding documentaries, because he watches a lot of them.
Yeah, I do love documentaries.
That's one of your...
The weirder the documentary can be, I love it.
I've seen four, and it's always a bit like this. The Academy, it's just the documentarists that vote on this one, and they like a certain kind of topic. It's kind of rare to see. So it happens, you know, like the Amy Winehouse. It was like, that was kind of a different way of approaching it. You're seeing much more and more sort of passionate eye kind of things, less standard documentaries, but they still like the very heavy or important topics. Yeah. So it's going to be about racial discrimination. It's going to be about Syria. It's going to be...
And I think, you know, like in our current context, people are even more aware of the power of these things and the importance of it. So I agree with you. Yeah, it's probably going to be like a big subject.
If you do documentaries, I bet you rate documentaries on how hard it is probably to film that stuff. So you're probably like, I can't believe like...
They caught that. Because sometimes it's like they're following this from the beginning. How did they figure out that this was going to be something?
Yeah, war documentaries, like, that takes a lot of courage and time and possible, you know, injury or death just to do that. So.
I don't even know how they got the footage from Last Men in Aleppo out of there, unless it's just transmitted digitally, I guess, maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know, because that's just like some raw freaking footage. Mm. Watcher beware, it's disturbing imagery. But I've seen many. I don't know that any of them... Yeah. The heavier the topic, the harder it is to judge it.
Yeah.
Because it's a document. You're watching real tragedy, something real happening, and it seems trivial to review it or
picky about it.
To see it as a piece of filmmaking.
But documentary's always been one of those categories where I've always found it really weird because, for example, I always think about is the year The Act of Killing was in there. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite movies of that year. And then what one? It wasn't that. It was just like this Hollywood fluff piece about like...
20 Feet from Stardom.
It's often movies about Hollywood.
Yeah, it's often. But it's like...
That's true.
Really? Like, it was good, but at the same time, like, this documentary is way more important.
Well,
it felt...
Honestly, like, you can do that exercise for a lot of, like at some point I went through... Because I had considered watching all of, like, the Best Picture winners.
Ever?
Yeah. I had thought about doing that. I didn't do that, but I thought about it. And you can really tell, like, sometimes the movies that win from these categories are not the ones that are actually going to stay.
Yeah.
It's just like a mini moment, and then...
It doesn't become an iconic film.
There are more iconic films that probably never got the Oscars.
Oh, yeah,
nominations that we think of. What?
So we'll see how this pans out. What about just the technical categories? We haven't... I mean, we're not going to go through... Every sound mixing production stuff.
I wanted to mention this one thing in Best Makeup.
Best Makeup.
Oh, yeah.
That's the category that Suicide Squad won.
Yeah, Suicide Squad won over Star Trek. What in the world?
I was shocked. I had definitely voted for Star Trek.
Again, was it genre stuff? But that's a superhero movie. I guess they like superheroes more than sci-fi. What?
I don't know. This year's makeup and hairstyling is a little underwhelming.
Yeah, there's like three?
Well, there's always three in that one. But Darkest Hour, obviously, for transforming an actor into...
That's going to be it, I think.
Again, that's my...
But then, okay, Wonder, the kid has the deformed head and all that. Okay, I guess... and then Victoria and Abdul.
Sure.
It's a historical picture. I haven't seen it. But...
Like, I'm sure, they probably have historical makeup. But...
I mean, funny hair. I don't know.
But there's no...
There's always
one. The big
one.
Lacking one is The Shape of Water.
Yeah, I'm
it's
not sure.
It's nominated in literally, like, every other 13. Category. 13 categories. But lacking in makeup. You'd that's, feel like that monster why... alone would be in
Well, didn't they just recycle the suit from Hellboy?
Honestly, that's...
Doug Jones kept the suit. It's like, it's like, Guillermo, I have it.
Like, didn't he spend like weeks just working on the butt?
Months working on the butt. Working on that the butt. Monster.
Thank you, Guillermo del Toro. That's amazing. But I wonder if there's like a technical reason why it couldn't be nominated.
Yeah.
Because it feels that way.
But that's my big issue. Another issue of the Oscars where like Gary Oldman in that makeup is fine, but monster, no. Yeah. Andy Serkis CGI, no.
But tattooed Joker. So, I mean, sometimes they do and sometimes they don't.
Yeah, it's so weird.
I'm surprised that we don't see... Like, there are superhero movies that might have fit some of these categories.
Yeah.
Thor Ragnarok, for example,
yeah.
could have Lots been in costumes.
Yeah.
You know, all the Kirby stuff, production design.
Even like...
Or is it too much like now the cinematic universe has all these little pieces and it's not like...
Like the Master had like simple makeup and even Valkyrie had just like simple like marks on their faces. I know that's simple. It seems simple. It's still like good design.
It's got to be designed.
Yes.
But I might have gone for costumes with all those crowds. With all the Kirby costumes or production design on that level, or even costumes. What about Wonder Woman?
Yeah.
That was the big surprise blockbuster. It's important to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been surprising to see Gal Gadot get like an actress nomination, even though she created an iconic character that then can work in other movies. That would have been like long shot for sure. But what about, you know, creating the Amazons and you've got the World War I stuff, you've got the Amazon stuff.
Like, mixing that's a period piece film that makes sense to me.
Yeah. How do you make that armor work? And everybody's got different armors as well. So that's one where I would have gone for a costume thing, if if nothing else.
Yeah.
You know, not special effects or whatever. It's all Snyderific and I hated it on that level. The movie had its problems. If you're going to, you know, slide Wonder Woman in there and pay lip service to the fact that this was like a big,
big movie.
Female-led film.
Honestly, like one of the most important films of the year. I would say.
Yeah. This is a movie that's going to change the way they market movies. And
that's like one of the situations I was saying before, where that's one of the movies people will remember from this year. And we'll probably forget some of them on the Best Picture list.
Yeah.
We're not going to remember Phantom Thread, probably. Let's be real.
Oh, and The Post? Oh, yeah. That one Spielberg out of his 15,000 movies.
All these biopic things for me seem, you know, very...
Does a group of people still talk about The Imitation Game today? Like...
I kind of feel that way about Crash.
Which one?
Like the one that won.
Yeah, that's a notorious one.
I didn't ask which one.
No.
I was saying, the film that one.
I thought you said which one.
Which one?
There's there's more than one Crash.
Yeah, there's a bad one and there's a good one. Kornberg did one.
Well, I don't know if it's good.
It's
about the erotica of wounds. It's a thing.
It exists.
It exists. It is a thing that I have seen and cannot unsee.
thank God for Cronenberg.
Yeah. We can probably expect, by the way, for cinematography, we didn't really talk about that, but while there is the first female cinematographer on there, which is great.
And apparently she's done like a... I saw a list of movies she's worked on. I was like, why didn't she like?
It's not her first movie.
What?
Including the upcoming Black Panther,
Glass Ceiling, I guess.
Yeah.
Although everybody expects a Blade Runner to win this one.
Yeah, Blade Runner.
I think that's justifiable.
Yeah. It's not. I mean, it's Roger Deakins. He's a legend in his field
he's
and has
never won
one.
Yeah. I think it's here. Yeah.
And
it was incredible to see.
Like, right. It's not like it's gonna be they just gave it to him because end of career.
Yeah.
Lifetime achievement.
Even though I'm sure Shape of Water is probably a good contender in that, technically.
Probably.
I would believe
it. And I'm sure Mudbound looks good. Dunkirk, we saw, had a strong look.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Darkest Hour had the same look. And those are the ones that are...
Darkest Hour is pretty dark.
For hours.
So that's, that's the... You know, I'm always happy to see Kong Skull Island on something.
Yeah.
that's a fun surprise.
I think we're the only group who liked that movie from my seeing the internet sometimes.
I think Kong Skull Island was like the first polarizing genre movie of the year, and then Last Jedi was the last.
Yeah, Last Jedi stole that spotlight. He's like, hey, look at me.
That's
in both in the same category. So
yeah. In visual effects. Yeah. With War of the Planet of the Apes, which was a strong series as well.
I hope Kong wins visual effects. I really like all the fire effects and stuff. I thought it was good. Monkey was cool.
I'm afraid he's an ape.
Speaking of apes, snubbed the Planet of the Apes movie. I just want Andy Serkis to win like an Oscar one day.
At some point he's going to win like a Lifetime Achievement Award because people are like, shit, we didn't give anything
for
to Andy Serkis.
In like 20 years, I'm like, I guess we changed our mind on mocap. Here's your lifetime achievement, yeah. Andy.
Definitely.
You can play animals all you want, so long as it's mocap. We're not giving you any awards. Let's start the mocap awards.
There's just Andy Serkis.
So those are our thoughts on the Oscar nominations as they stand. We still have a lot of movies to go through if we're going to watch as many as we can. Well, some of us.
There's still a few I want to see. And there's a bunch I don't want to see. So
I'm not watching Boss Baby just to boost my...
Yeah, Boss Baby Ferdinand.
No.
Maybe
I'm good.
Boss Baby because, you know, I am an interest in really bad movies. I have a perverse pleasure in seeing really bad movies.
I don't think you'd like this one, though.
No, probably not.
You know
not.
What I mean? Like, there's a bad, bad enough. Movie. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe not bad enough. Yeah.
Too bad it's too good.
But I'm looking forward to seeing the ones we haven't seen yet. I think...
Shape of Water.
Honestly, this year was, like, very impressive.
Yeah.
I remember, like, even just by, like, May, or even maybe earlier than that, I was like, man, this is a hell of a year.
I remember.
And then it just kept going and going, and then there was, like, a bit of a dead time, like, in September. But then it came back, so I'm really happy.
Well, even started the year, and Get Out came out, February. Mm-hmm. I was like, favorite movie of the year. I think calling it now.
I think Lego Batman was actually the first we saw... that was like actually 2017.
Mm.
And then Get Out like the week after that.
It was a strong start. And honestly, the entire year was incredibly strong.
I think it had fewer lows, or the lows weren't as low as previous years.
And I think for me, the highs were a bit higher than normal.
And I'm talking about like non-Oscar movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, just
entertainment.
John Wick 2.
John Wick 2, awesome.
That should have.
John Wick 2 could have been in like costumes or something.
Cinematography.
Yeah.
Or set design. Or John Wick 2 could have been in a lot of things.
If they gave awards for soundtracks, we would have had many choices. Atomic Blonde, Baby Driver, even Logan Lucky. I listened to a lot of that. Get Out had a good soundtrack. So yeah, so it was an entertaining year at the movies.
Yeah.
And if you don't go to the movies, it'll be an entertaining year coming up on Netflix or iTunes or whatever, wherever you get your rentals. So thanks, Nat and Marty, for spending this hour with us.
Thanks, Mike.
The larger podcasting community.
Maybe you'll know my voice better now if you watch the show.
Maybe you'll be like, are they still doing Lonely Hearts?
Yeah. It's a lot of production, I have to say.
It doesn't happen as often. It is a production heavy
way more
show.
Than our show. We just kind of sit around a table and then Mike cuts it up. So it makes sense.
It's just, where do I cut in between the laughter?
Yeah.
Is all that is. So thanks for listening to the Oscar nomination specials here at the Fire and Water Podcast Network. You can leave comments on this show or any show at the Fire and Water Podcast Network website, which is fireandwaterpodcast.com.
Yeah.
And or you know, if you think it's too much work going to a website when you're already on Facebook, we've got a Facebook page there, Fire and Water Podcast. Or if you don't even want to go on Facebook,
maybe you don't like Facebook.
No, maybe you don't like Facebook. Maybe you like Twitter instead. You can leave a message on Twitter as well. Just put hashtag FW Podcasts.
Also, if you think of Oscar food puns, use the hashtag Oscar food puns because I like to look at them.
Right, not Oscar food puns.
No,
yes,
puns.
Yes, one of your puns is not in the list because you put puns.
Oh, no. I was typing quickly.
Obviously. So this is Siskoid with his friends signing off.
Like me right now. You like me.